Daniel chapter 1, let's stand together this morning. Begin reading in verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake to Aspenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word this morning. Let's look to him in prayer and ask God's help on the service. Our Father, we're thankful that we can bow our unworthy heads in the presence of God and to thank you again on this side of heaven for grace and mercy. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the redemption that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you this morning that the grave could not hold you. I want to thank you that death has no power over you. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've given that same life to us, your children. I pray that you'd breathe by your eternal spirit upon this place this day. God, that you'd give us liberty to preach and to worship, to offer praise and adoration to the name of our God that loved us and died for us. I'd pray that you'll expose the devil. Lord, that you'll expel darkness and expose sin. I pray that you'll give grace and victory to that heart, Lord, that is so despondent, so discouraged, so deeply in despair today. May the Spirit of God elevate their spirit that they might experience revival and rejoice again in Thee. Provide liberty now and power. I need to preach unction upon this unworthy vessel. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that is accomplished. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I may have put the wrong verse, I think, maybe, I got the right verse. I thought I may have put the wrong verse in our bulletin this morning. But I believe I did put the wrong verse. I sure did. Verse number 4 is where I want to draw our thought from this morning. And if you'll notice the very last phrase in that verse of Scripture, it said, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Nebuchadnezzar might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans to these Jewish boys. And I want to try, if God will help me this morning, to preach for a little while on the thought of the devil's plan that backfired. On the devil's plan that backfired, that was brought to naught, that was disannulled and done away with by the power of Almighty God. You know, the devil is a very powerful person. But I want to say that our God is all powerful. And Satan has never had the upper hand on the people of God. It may appear to be that way on occasions, but I want to remind you that as long as we are in the hand of God, that there is no man nor creature that has the power to pluck us out of His wonderful hand. Now, by way of introduction, I want to say that it was in the plan of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to take these four Hebrew young men and to teach them in the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. He wanted them to talk like a Chaldean. He wanted them to walk like a Chaldean. He wanted their social structure to be like that of the Chaldeans. He wanted to erase every thought of Judah and of the God of that land from their minds, and to make them like to the children or the people of His vast domain that He reigned in. He wished to change their language and their customs and their religion. Now, lest I forget it, I want to put this in right here. I don't have it in my notes, but I just read to you that it was at the end of 3 years that they were to be able to stand before the king. I want to say to you, daddies in here this morning, it does not take the devil long to brainwash your family and your children and get their thinking all bent out of joint and out of kilter and get them to thinking, my friend, like the world around them. It was just going to take 3 years to take grown men. Probably Daniel was probably 17 years old at this time and had some learning in the way of God in the land of Judah. And it was only going to take 3 years to take that young man, erase everything that he had been taught from his heart and mind, and bring him into the court of the king of Babylon that he might stand there having learned all the ways, all the knowledge, and all the learning of the king of Babylon. I want to say this before I go any further too. These were young men that had some training. I want to say to you, my friend, men, if you don't start, as Brother Doug said, instructing those children while they are small, I want to say that you're in trouble, big trouble somewhere down the road with your family. You better bring them to the house of God, teach them to respect the man of God, honor the word of God, and walk in the ways of God, or there'll come a time in their life, friend, when they will walk according to the course of this world, go astray, and wind up destroying their lives and their families that God's given them in this life. Amen. Now, he wanted to do that. But I find in the Scriptures that his plan backfired. You know, it's just like the song that we sang. They took and buried the Lord. And the song said, thinking they had seen the end of this man. But after 3 days, he gloriously got up out of the grave. I won't say that was in the devil's mind and plan. When Christ died, he thought, my friend, he had the upper hand. And that'd be all there was to it about that man that was teaching men and women to live a holy life. But to his surprise, friend, 3 days later, our Lord got up out of the grave and ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. I'm glad the grave couldn't hold him down. Death couldn't hold him prey, and the devil was no match for him. In him was life, and that life is a light of men. And I'm glad, thank God, that he's got the power to give that same life unto all men that will come unto God by him. Amen. Amen. That's right. But Nebuchadnezzar's plan backfired. Daniel, first of all, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. with a portion of the king's meat. That's right. He had a purpose. That'd do us well today. The purpose in our heart that we're not going to defile ourselves. I won't say, young people, there's plenty out there that will defile you. While there's old garbage Brooks and Dolly Parton and Johnny Trash and all that crap. That's right. And for some of you older folk, you remember the old hits by old Elvis the Pelvis and the long-haired hippie Beatles and all that crap. And they were mild, my friend, compared to what I'm hearing in the automobiles that drive up and down our streets today. There's liquor out there. There's vice out there. There's dope out there. There is enough out yonder in the world to defile you. But the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. The king's portion. What the king had to offer. You know, the devil leads you to believe he's the king of this world. That he's running the show. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, his little plan is going to backfire someday. I'm glad there's a great God in heaven that's yet on the throne, friend, and is yet in control of everything that is going on in this world. Somebody said, preacher, why is everything like it is then? I don't know. I'll find out when I get to glory. I know one thing, we'll understand it all better by and by. Amen to God. And those other three Hebrew boys, they refused to bow at the idol that was set up in the plain of Dura. Nebuchadnezzar set that idol up and said, when you hear the sound of music, the sackbut, psaltery, and harp, and all those instruments of music, then fall down and worship the idol that I have set up in the plain of Dura. I'm going to tell you, that sounds just like the devil, don't it? Amen. Fall down and worship all of these worldly idols. Idols of wood, hay, and stone. My friend, that cannot ever deliver a man. I'm glad the God that I serve is a living God that has the power to deliver not only my soul from destruction, but deliver my life from the same. Know about you, but my life was on its way to destruction, friend. Huh? Yes, sir. Didn't have my. That's what God wants. That's what the devil wants to do to people. Destroy their lives. That's what his plan was for these four young boys. Destroy their life. Deprive them of the life that they knew in God and lead them in a pathway, my friend, of ungodliness and worldliness that would destroy the very life that God had given them. I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what the devil wants to do to you too. Amen. I want to say again, I believe this is exactly what the devil would like to do to you and I. That's right. He'd like nothing better than to destroy our Christian heritage, tear down our spiritual values. He doesn't want you to have any spiritual values. And he doesn't want the generation coming up, my friend, to have any heritage. Our girls sang that song a few years ago in the camp meeting. I've got a goodly heritage. Praise God, I want it to stay that way. Amen! When my carcass is laid out in front of this pulpit and laid down in the dirt of Hopkins County, I want my children and grandchildren to be able to walk by and my friend, my body, and say, thank God my daddy left me with a goodly heritage. Hello, I want them to remember the values of spiritual life. Amen. Being in church and walking with God and reading their Bibles and praying. Amen. Brother People said, Brother Steve Pleasant preached out at Brother Fletcher's. Ask how many preachers in there had prayed 5 hours during the week and got absolutely very little showing of hands whatsoever. That ain't even 45 minutes a day in prayer for men of God. I'm going to tell you what that tells me. That tells me the people under them aren't praying either, friend. God help us. And that is our problem. Some of you, and I'm about ready to start calling some of you's name if you don't smile every now and then. Some of you are about ready to faint, my friend, in the way, and it's because you have departed from your altar of prayer and deserted the very God that loves you. You have fallen right into the trap of the devil. You have listened to his lies in your ear, and you've fallen right into the trap of the devil himself. He's told you, what's the use? Ain't nothing ever going to happen again. He is a liar out of hell. He don't know how to tell the truth. Yes, sir, there's plenty going to happen. But if it don't happen until resurrection morning, there's a plenty going to happen then. Hallelujah to God. That's right. They want to destroy your Christian heritage and tear down your spiritual value and rob you of your rob you of Christ's blessings in your life. But I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, I'm going to be like these Hebrew boys. I've made up my mind. I've determined in my heart that although I'm in the world, I shall not be a part of the world. I am not of this stinking world. And by the way, I am not in the family of Slewfoot. I have been born again from above into the family of God. I've got a relationship, my friend, that he cannot sever. He might work hard and hinder my fellowship, but I'm telling you, he'll never destroy my relationship. No, sir. But now are you the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what you shall be, but we know that we shall be like him. For when we see him, we'll see him as he is. Hallelujah to God. Amen. The sons of God. Amen. You know, there's a lot of racial trouble in America today and across the world too. Amen. And religious problem. Somebody said, preacher, what color will we be up there? Who gives a flip if we're green? Purple or pink or blue. Whatever he is, that's what we'll be. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to keep on serving the Lord with all my heart, mind, body, and soul. I'll get to the message in a minute. I want to meddle a little while if I can before we get there. Amen. But hey, but Nebuchadnezzar had a plan, and it backfired. He wanted to brainwash these men, and it backfired. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm glad, thank God, that they not only had favor with God, in the end they found favor from the eyes of those worldlings that tried to destroy them. As a matter of fact, I believe the chief honcho Nebuchadnezzar himself was saved by the grace of God. I'm here to tell you, the devil's crowd out there will try to tear you down and destroy you and deprive you of the blessings of God. But if we'll remain faithful to God, there may come a time in their life when God will save them. Amen. Now listen carefully. How do you intend to do that? I've got some text now. Hang in there with me. How did the devil intend to do that? I want to say, number one, by alienating them from the affections of God. Alienating them from the affections of God. That's right. The devil knows, now come on now children, the devil knows that he can never destroy the love that God has for you and I. But I'm going to tell you, he can brainwash us a great deal and cause our love and our affections for Almighty God to wane and become cold. And all our affections for God can get cold, my friend. And I'll tell you, if the devil can't do it by muscle, he'll do it by deceit. He is bound on destroying the love that you and I have for Almighty God. Alienating us from that great love of God that has been shed abroad in our heart, getting us cold and indifferent toward the Lord God. And I'd say, when I'm looking at some of you this morning, he's more than got it done. Huh? Somebody said, preacher, how's he going to do that? Come on. Hey, come on in the house, boys and girls. By driving them, number one, from their homeland. He took them out of their homeland and brought them into the land of Babylon. I want to say, friend, if the devil can possibly get you out of the land of Canaan, mark it down your well on your way, my friend, to a cold, indifferent heart toward God. That Bible said we ought to set our affection on things above, but I'm telling you, the devil can get you out of Canaan, away from the Spirit-filled life. I'll guarantee you he can alienate you from the affections of Almighty God. Amen. Most Baptists know nothing about a Spirit-filled life. Talk to some of y'all about being Holy Ghost filled, and you sit there and look at me like a calf in a new gate. Huh? But the Bible still said we ought not to be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Some of you hon-yocks in here used to get out on dance floors and cut a rug out on a dance floor. You know why? Because you were full of wine, my friend. Drunk on wine. But I'm telling you, you come to the house of God and sit like knots on logs, like wooden Indians. I'm going to tell you the problem of it is the Holy Ghost of God is not controlling your life, my friend. Somebody said, oh, preacher, oh, yes, sir. That is right. So when that Bible said that he is greatly to be praised, he is worthy to be praised. When the Bible said he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth, and we're sitting like knots on logs, I'm going to tell you the problem, son. It's because the Holy Ghost of God is not controlling your life. The flesh is, amen. And you'd rather sit on a pew than you would honor God. I won't charge you anything for that, friend. That's just a fact. God help us to wake up to how great our God is. I believe we'd ever wake up to how great our God is. Some of you would at least have to break a frown and give a smile. I believe others might have to say, amen, Brother Hall. Well, preacher, it just ain't in me. Maybe you're right. You'll catch that one by slow trade. Amen to God. Well, it ain't in my makeup. What is your makeup? He wants to get you out of Canaan. Sit down by the rivers of Babylon. Hang your hearts on the willows, my friend. And then look you in the face and say, go on and sing one of the songs of Zion if you can. I guarantee you, you can't. And we're not. And the reason we're not is because, my friend, we're outside the homeland. Oh, I would to God, the great God of heaven, would rend the heavens and come down. That the Holy Ghost, my friend, like a flame of fire and a holy dove, I would not send on His people one more time. Some of you are out of your homeland. You can't sing the songs of Zion in a strange land. You ever read Psalm 137? If you ain't, I'm fixing to read part of it to you. By the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. You know what they done? They wept. Psalm 137 verse 1. Yea, we sat down by the rivers of Babylon and wept. Wonder why they were weeping. I'm going to tell you why. Because they, the Bible said they, when they, we remembered Zion. My goodness. We talk about 96. I would to the Lord that some of you today would remember 96. Get your mind back to the way it was when we were camping in Canaan, dwelling in Beulah Land, walking in, oh yes, eating the grapes of Eshcol. Hallelujah to God. Remember the way it was back then. They said we sat down and wept when we remembered how it was back then. Now I wonder what a hey. When's the last time we sat down and wept over how it used to be? Brother Matthias told me this morning, I said something, and he said, well, said, you know, the Bible said, Peter said, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Said the problem might be they ain't too many pure minds to stir up.
Amen.
Are you listening? Sat down by hay and wept. Why? No song. Lost their song. Lost their joy. Lost their happiness. Lost their spirit. Sat down with a mullet grub. Played Jonah underneath the gourd. Sat down like a Elijah underneath the juniper tree. Oh yes, headed in the wrong direction. Like Jonah. I'm telling you, our problem today is there's no spirit-filled life in our hearts. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's about to kill me to try to get over the top of it. When I got to come in here and carry the load and buck and hump and buck and you sit there and look at me like a knot on low, then some of you want to, hey, come on in the house. I'm preaching to you this morning, sir. You want to come in my office and sit down and laugh and joke and giggle and cut up and you ain't got a ounce of joy in the worship service. Son, I'm telling you, you better get up off of your butt from the rivers of Babylon and get headed back toward Canaan again. Hey, man! Somebody said, I don't like you. I still love you. I want the best for you. I want God all over you and God in you. Sat down there and wept when they remembered Zion. Said, we turn around and hang our harps on the willows. No song and no music. We hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They demanded it. Some of you, and they required of us mirth. That's a song and that's joy. You know what mirth is? It's joy. You know what the devil's telling some of you? The devil's sitting beside the one saying, go on! Sing if you can! Make a little joy if you can. Smile if you can. You can't because I've done got your soul, I've done got your heart, and I've done got you down here in Babylon. Now do it. That word means to demand. Make go on. I double dog dare you. You can't do it. Amen. And he'll alienate you by the affection from the affections of God. By dragging you off down the line. He said, they required mirth of us saying, sing one of the songs of Zion. And they said, with no answer to give but how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. What we got going on in Island Ford Baptist Church is strange and foreign to the people of God. It's foreign, Brother Steve. It's strange. Oh, I'm telling you, I've heard Brother Matthias talk about how it used to be down at Camp Vine. Son, I'm telling you, some of them old preachers used to get out after the meeting down there and preach out in the weeds and out yonder by the creek. I've heard Brother Gene Matthias tell this story that along about 5 or 6 o'clock the next morning, some of the folks that were members there had wagons and tractors would drive out through them fields, buddy, and load them preacher boys up on wagons and tractors and haul them back into the tabernacle. Because they had done been with God so long and been wrung out so much, God had just overwhelmed them. Amen. They didn't even have enough physical strength left to get back to the house of God. Somebody said, I ain't going to act like that preacher. Well, bless your heart, I sure would like to. Amen. I'm tired of dead, dry, high Baptists, bless God, that don't enjoy the great God that loved me. Oh, and Brother Andy not only loved me, but came to this earth, wrapped himself in a robe of flesh, and died on Calvary for my sins. And guess what? The devil said, I've got him now, but his plan backfired, and he got up. Amen. That's right. You know, the second way that he will that he will rob you of your affections or alienate you from your affections from God. Not only by driving you from your homeland from Canaan, but by disassociating you from your God. He don't want you to have any association at all with God. Can I run this by you? Hey, he wants to cut. Yes, Brother Jerome. He wants to cut off every remembrance, every thought in your mind from God. He don't want you to remember Calvary. No, he don't want you to remember Calvary. I don't want you to do this, but I want you to do it. Just close your eyes for just a second. Look in your mind way back yonder to the glorious cross. That morning when as a sinner, loaded down with all your sin and had the burdens of your sin, finally made your way up to the foot of Mount Moriah. And there your Isaac, your blessed Isaac, unladed your burden and carried your sin all the way up the mountain. Amen to God. And he's coming back with added glory to God. Go back there. Go back there for a minute. He don't want you. Somebody said, "Preacher, huh? How's he going to do that?" Come on now, children. You know, did you notice that he changed all their names? Changed every one of their names. The word Daniel in the Hebrew means God is my judge. Woo! Somebody said, "Brother Hall, I don't want him to judge me." Why not? When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Well, he sees me as worthy and not as I am. Well, he views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy and he loves me. This I know. Woo! I felt it a coming on, son. I felt it a coming on. I felt it a coming on. But you know what Belteshazzar means? Belteshazzar means the Baal's prince. Daniel, I don't want you to remember God as your judge anymore. This fellow over here called Baal, he's got the authority over you now. 3 years, Daniel, 3 years! 3 years it'll be out of your mind. You'll forget how God's your judge, and Baal will be leading you around with a... Some of you, if you don't get right with God, you're headed that way. It won't take 3 more years until the devil, son, Baal, Beelzebub, will have a ring in your nose. God used to judge you, Daniel, but now Baal's your prince.
Amen.
3 years all it's going to take, Daniel, and you're going to forget all about that. You're going to stand before me. You're going to stand before Nebuchadnezzar. My eunuchs will brainwash you, Daniel. My eunuchs will rub out every thought of God in your life, Daniel. You'll stand before me and take orders from me, Nebuchadnezzar. Prince of this world. You know what Hananiah means? It means beloved of the Lord. But Shadrach, Hananiah's name was changed to Shadrach. That means illumined or illuminated by the sun god. God is not leading you anymore, young man. You're going to get all your light from the sun god. Oh, don't that stand to reason? I mean the sun god, the sun gives light. Surely he can give us light in this world. That's exactly what Adam and Eve thought, friend, that the God, that the sun God could give them light in it. Oh, we eat of that apple or that pie.
pineapple or whatever. Well, then God knows you'll be like God.
Right.
You will have knowledge of good and evil both.
Why don't you let the Son of God illumine you? Well, I've got news for you, friend. I want to remind you that when in the wisdom of man, they knew not God.
Amen.
I'll let the Son God lead me around. I'll let Him lead me down to the beach. Brother Ricky Whitlow called me last night. Led me last night. Don't we play a tape in there or something by the Bowmans? Kind of bluegrassy. Oh, he said they was down there in the church and cut a new tape on Saturday night. And he said, guess what, Brother Hall? He said, the woman walked around in them bullfighting blue jeans the whole time they was there and said, guess what? Said, on Sunday afternoon, guess where they went? You got it. Down to the beach. Down. Come on! I'm your Son God. Get your clothes off. Get your hind end good and blistered. Come on down to the water, buddy, and let the Son God lighten your way. And before you know it, you'll forget all about God. That's all you'll want to do is lay around down at the beach or out on a golf course. Preachers get up and brag about playing golf 5 and 6, 7 days a week. I'm telling you, they ain't got an ounce of God around them. I wouldn't let them lead in silent prayer in here.
Amen. Not if I know it. God help us. This is God's help. We come to get life from God.
I was told last week that one of the people we play here on the radio station sang a song not long ago in a camp meeting talking about how that he come to town with a 6-iron on his hip. I hope he's listening. Brother Bobby, I love you, but you got about as much business singing songs about 6 irons on you. I'm talking about a golf club. On half, boys and girls, I won't charge you that. I'm telling you that we're in a mess, and it's because that the devil has brainwashed God's people and disassociated them from God's love and affection. That kind of people ain't leading in silent prayer here. You can tell them I said that. I don't care how much you, your in-laws, outlaws, or kinfolk love that mess. It won't be while my name's on that sign out there.
Amen.
Mishael means who is as God. Here's a little Hebrew boy that his parents wanted him to be so much like God, they named him. He'll be like God. They said he'll be like God. But you know what his new name, Meshach, stands for? Who is like Venus? Woo! Disassociating them from their God, even by name. Even by name. Then there was little Azariah. That means the Lord is my help to Abednego, the servant of Nego. No longer a servant, no longer. Is God his helper? He is a servant of the devil. Are you listening to what I'm telling you this morning? Son, that is exactly what the devil does. He'll brainwash you into believing. Oh, and by the way, somebody said, now, preacher, they're in the king's palace. Oh, that is another one of his deceitful ways. What's any difference in the king of Babylon and the king of Israel? Why, there's no difference, young fellas. It's a king. He's a king. He's got a palace. You can stand before him. Now, I'll tell you, that's exactly what the devil will tell you. Ain't no difference now. Come on. I can do just as much for you as he can do. Are you dying on me? You get off that glory and you all start dying real fast. Huh? And I'm going to tell you, he does it by deficiency of spiritual graces. Now, this is going to get a lot of us. What do you mean a deficiency in spiritual graces? He does this. He accomplishes this by occupying their time with his affairs and robbing them of time with God. You are now in the school of Nebuchadnezzar. And you're going to be here 18 hours a day, buddy, drinking the king's wine, eating the king's meat, getting very little rest and learning all the language and the laws and the ways of the Chaldeans. You don't have time for your God. Oh, Brother Hall, don't get, oh yeah, it's cotton chopping time at Island Board Baptist Church. Well, preacher, you don't understand. My job won't let me in the house of God. Find another one.
Amen.
Preacher, I got to take care of my hunting trips and my fishing trips and my golfing. I got to take care of all that stuff. Oh, buddy. You better be careful, friend. There he is. We're going to take care of all. You got to have, don't you know, you got to have just a little bit of fun. Some of you young folks in here loosen up. We'd have fun this morning, praise God. I'd show you how to have some fun at the house of God. Amen. You know what I told Whitlow? I told him yesterday, I said, you going down, Brother Allen, next week? He said, I don't know, I'd like to. I said, Brother Ricky, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, if you go, I'll come on Thursday and Friday just to be there with you. And I said, here's what we'll do, buddy. I said, I'll drive that green Buick down there, roll that sunroof back. And I said, I'll put as much Kentucky Fried Chicken in the front seat of it as you can possibly hold. And we'll strike out down through Calhoun and Dalton, Georgia. And I said, you can take a chicken leg in your left hand and a King James Bible in your right hand. And I said, son, we'll preach the Word of God all over that county, slaying chicken bones and grease out the windows, and have a time in God. Somebody said, oh, preacher, that's nuts. Oh, no, son. I remember when they went to Desert Storm. Brother Doug Thompson and I, and that fellow's name was in Louisville. You know what I'm talking about, Metropolitan. Way down. Son, them fellas was here. We took American flags and Christian flags on big poles and held them outside our van. Amen. Them fellas did. And I drove. And it was a pouring rain. And up through Madisonville, we went a-blowing the horn. I'm telling you, horns started blowing. Lights started flashing. People started waving. And we walked out in front of the courthouse in a pouring down rain, son. With a guide on to those flags at one side, each side, and a man in the middle, and stood there and preached the Word of God to those people. People drove by, kept on, hang in there, preacher men, glory to God, preacher men. I'm telling you, you can have a time serving God for Him. Amen. Amen. Well, that's point one. I've already mentioned point two, but I'll mention it again. He appointed them a worldly diet. In verse number 5, the Bible said, and the king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat. What did I write down there? Oh, I wouldn't want to leave this out and offend nobody this morning. A daily portion of His meat. Friend, we wonder why we ain't got the power of God on us. Do you know why Daniel had the power of God? He purposed he would not defile himself with the devil's food. I don't need your meat. I don't need your wine. Well, tell me why not, Daniel. I've got a fountain I'm a-drinking from, son. Hallelujah to God. That will make my flesh much better off than what your boys will be.
Amen.
Eating the devil's food.
That's right.
I imagine Nebuchadnezzar said, now we want these boys to sit down in front of that giant screen TV. And what we want them to do now is eat a little devil's food. We want them to learn how to dance, cuss, drink liquor, or shoot dope. Fornicate, whole mug, marry and divorce at random, kick one out, drag another in, child molestation. Well, I was listening to a program coming up the highway the other day. Are you ready for this? They said that Nickelodeon wanting to put a program on television, son, promoting a sodomite family. And you've got that mess in your house. Yeah. God help you. Yeah. 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 Well, I'll get them a little bit of the king's meat. Live on devil's food. I still love you. And whether you love me or not, he loves me. Yes! Hey, we're having fun today. And look here. How'd they want to do that? And I don't have time to read all these verses, but if I can find my glasses, I might take time. Hand them here, Brother Jerry. Hey, do you know, eating that worldly diet, you know what he wanted to do? Come on now, I ain't going to charge you much for this. We'll take up a free offering for me and Miss Hall to go to Win Arkansas on it. We get too dead here in a minute. I don't need your money to go to Win. I'm just kidding now. But look at verse number 12. It said, Daniel said, prove thy servants. I beseech you 10 days and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Come on in here a minute, fellas, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know anything about the Bible. He said, on this king's diet, what I want to do is change your appearance. Got your name changed. Now I want to change what you look like. I know you're not ladies, but if you were, I'd want to change your appearance by beginning with the head and going to the foot and cut off all your glory. I'd want to crop you off and budge you up to where you can look like a man. I'm telling you what, they took my blood down there the other day to do screening. They're going to screen me for diabetes and vitamin deficiencies and I don't know this and that and probably AIDS if I knew about it. They're just going to do an up-the-class thing, you know what I'm saying? And there's this thing come out there that had a haircut like a man, a face like a woman, and a body like a man. And I said, Lord, please, please don't let me draw that thing to draw me. You know what I'm saying? And you ain't going to believe it. A black lady come in there and said, Jerry Hall, I walked back in time. I said, ma'am, you the same lady took my blood. I said, praise God. I sure am glad to see you today. Amen. Yeah. She said, I want to ask you something, Reverend Hall. I said, all right. She said, now I got this boy in school, and I've been helping him in school. Said he called me the other day and said, guess what, mama? Said, you going to be a grandmama. Said, a grandmama? Said, you ain't even married. He said, well, said, we're going to have, said, in 4 months, you're going to be a grandmama. She said, you know what I told him? That other, some other woman over and said, you better be good to that boy. She said, I cut him off.
Amen. Oh, that's good.
Amen.
I'm not. She said, I am not adding sin to his sin in life. Amen. They don't want to live according to my... And by the way, like I said, according to Proverbs 1 in the Sunday school class morning, Daddy gives instruction, but it's Mama's law, buddy. Amen. She said, I ain't giving him a dime. I said, lady, I sure am glad to see you. I said, I believe you drew my blood the last time. She said, yes, sir, Reverend, that sure did. She said, I'm going to take her again today. She kept drawing and drawing and drawing. And I said, ma'am. She said, we'll leave you some.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? But that thing come to the door right after.
Number 111. I thought, ooh.
Yeah. They want to change their appearance, friend. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it wasn't a young lady if they didn't want to put a low neckline. I'm telling you, I was coming up the street down there the other day, coming up from Earl's Prince. And it was a woman. Come out of Kmart, and I'm telling you what, friend, I've never seen anybody any more naked in the upper anatomy in my life out in public than what that woman was. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do to these young boys. If they'd have been young girls, he'd want them to crop off their hair, take off all their clothes, except when they come to church. And then he'd want them to put on a nice, full-length skirt hanging all the way to their ankles with a slit about 3 foot up the back of it. Tightened down on me up, Brother Shepherd's one night last week. Amen. Brother Elliot Smith came to me and said, "Preacher," I said, "yes." God said, "You ought to have had more sense than Christ." I said, "You ought to know why you couldn't preach tonight." I said, "Well, tell me why if you know." He said, "You had a slit in your coat." You know what he wants to do to you, man? He wants to tan you. About here on down, your little faces. He wants to get your hair just right. I'm telling you what. I was sitting down there the other day, and I am not joking. There's a fella sitting over getting ready to get his blood drawn, and I said out loud before I realized he had sideburn down here. I said, "Under God, Elvis Presley." And there's another dude. I said, "There, Jackie Gleason." I'm going to tell you something, friend. God's people are not to follow the trends, the fads that tell, "Oh, yes, I know I'm telling it right." I'm going to tell you what pork chops are for, young men. Eating. Amen. He wanted to change their appearance. He wanted to change, in verse number 4, their authority. Boy, I tell you, we haven't found that. He said in verse 4, "I'm doing all this that you might stand before the king." Buddy, let me rule you. And I'm telling you, some of you adults in here that can't handle what's going on, you're more under his authority right now than you think. I'm going to tell you something. When you start bucking preaching that's going on in the house of God and rearing up and drawing back and drawing back, I'm going to tell you, you're in trouble. And payday may not be next Friday either, sir. Want them to stand before the king. I'll change your appearance. I'll change your authority. I will rule you. And I'm telling you, the devil wants to rule you. But glory to God, he has planned backfire. Oh, Daniel said, "I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat." Then 10 days he said, take a look. Oh, espionage, take a look at what God's done for me. And I'm going, "That's right." Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, We ain't a bowing. We ain't a bowing. I might be in, but I ain't a man. And I ain't a breaking. Amen. I'll be like that palm tree.
That's right.
And I'll bend in the wind. Amen. But I ain't going to break. Amen. I made up my mind, Brother Andy, the devil ain't going to break me.
Yes.
You know, he wants to rule you. He has been the arch enemy of our God from day one. And I'm going to put it, are you listening now? He wanted to change their acquaintances. We'll bring you down here and cut you off from all your friends up in the homeland. May I say, you better be careful who you run with. That's right. You better watch the crowd you run with. Why? Now, Brother Hall, I've known this old boy for years. Ain't nothing wrong with him. I mean, he goes to Seventh-day Adventist Church, but he's still a pretty good boy.
Amen.
Oh, watch him. Well, brother, he's a good fella. I mean, we're hunting buddies. He's not saved. And I go out there and hunt and witness to it. Come on now.
Amen.
You better be careful.
Amen.
You better be careful of the crowd you run with, neighbor.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you the best place some of you men could stay. Ho!
Amen.
If you've got a wife at home, go ho!
Amen.
But preacher, I've got to have a little enjoyment. Sir, if you can't find it with your wife, you have got problems. I follow my wife all over the house. I said, how you doing, babe? I said, what's going on? She said, the same thing going on in this room, going on out there, the lights. I got up there, then went walking back through the clump, clump. She said, and she can hear me because sometimes the way I walk, you know, if I ain't on my medicine, I'm a little slow, a little draggy. And she said, I heard her say, I'm in here. That's right. I see what time it is, praise God. But I'm telling you, I like a man that likes the house better than the boys, better than the buddies, better than down path, better than Sister Sue, Aunt June, Uncle Charlie, and Mom and Dad.
Amen. That's right.
You're going to visit? Take a family and go visit and take them back home. Is it thundering outside? Praise God. Maybe she'll thunder on the inside. Now, I'm going to try and hit this third thing. You know what he did, thirdly? He approached them with real honor. I'm talking about you. He said, I'm going to really give you some real honor in this life. I'm going to let you stand before me. And not only going to let you stand before me, but look here, everything they set on my table, I'm going to set on your table. Everything that I own, you alone. I'm going to promote you in the kingdom. Oh, I know you Jews. I know you're Jewish. Boy, it's raining big time. I know you're Jews. But I'm going to promote you in my kingdom. I want you to stand before me. And I'm going to treat you just like your father in Jerusalem would have treated you. In fact, I believe Daniel came out of the seed of Hezekiah about 150 years before that. I'm going to treat you just like your daddy would have treated you, and your king would have treated you. In fact, I'd probably be better. And if you stay with me, I'll promote you in this. I'll put chains of gold around your neck. I'll promote you with great honor. You'll stand in the palace. And if you'll follow me, I'll even let some of these other Babylonians bow to you. I'll let worldlings bow to you. I'll give you grace before them. I'll let them bow. Oh, you're wonderful. You better be careful when some of these folks start telling you how wonderful you are.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm careful. My brothers, some of them tell me, said, I ain't never heard you preach, but they tell me you're a good preacher. But cheese fault. That's what's going to be cheese fault. I'm going to come and hear you one of these days, but keep up the good work. They don't mean that a bit more than a billy goat.
Amen.
They're lost. What do they know about preaching?
Amen.
They don't know a thing about it.
Right.
And I know this is on tape. And I wouldn't give a flip. They on the internet and hear it. When I preached up there for Brother Elliot Smith, Pete and Jenny still going through their little chamber of experience, whatever you want to call it. And I preached on Sunday night, son. I'm caught in sin and I can't get out.
Amen.
And she got on altar and he got on altar. And she laid there, I know, for a good hour on that altar. And you know what she testified when she got up? God told me that there's still hope for me to be saved. I didn't say a thing. I thought in my heart, liar, liar, your pants is on fire and your nose is longer than a telephone wire. God don't tell a lost sinner to wait. There's yet time. Put it off. God don't do that.
Amen.
When they come by and shook my hand, you know what I told her? I said, Jenny, if God spoke to your heart tonight, you better do business with God. Now.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you who will tell you there's still hope and put it off and wait a while. Nebuchadnezzar.
That's right. Amen.
Old Nebby boy. Put her off.
Amen.
Put her off.
Amen.
That's what he tells some of you in here this morning. You know you need to get right with God. Put it off a little while. Put it off. But he promised him great honor. The position was honorable. I could, and I'm getting ready to close. I could illustrate Moses. Moses, by faith,
amen,
when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Amen.
But choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt.
Amen.
For he had respect unto the recompense of their reward. You know what that's saying? That's saying he weighed the two in the balance and said, this has got much more reward, much greater reward than this one has. And friend, any man with any kind of judgment inside at all could look at the world and its ways, the devil with it, and the Lord and his ways, and come to the conclusion that his ways are much better than the world's ways. And the reward. I heard Brother Nolan say, preachers can't say this no more. The preachers used to say, being a pastor don't pay much money. They can't say that no more. Because a lot of pastors make good money. I'm not griping about what I make.
Amen.
Somebody sat down there in one of them meetings and said, I know you preachers don't make much money. I said, whoop. I said, my church takes good care of me, sir. Pardon me. I'm talking about down at Brother Shepherd's. They'd say, preachers don't make much money, but the retirement plan is out of this world.
Amen.
But we've got pretty good salaries and pretty good benefits now.
Amen.
The palace was honorable. Man, you're going to stand in a king's palace.
Amen.
If you'll just lay down your armor and quit serving God, I'll give you a nicer home. Just work real hard. Lay out of church and work real hard. Don't spend no time praying and studying and witnessing. Just work real hard. And one of these days you'll have a house. And one of these days it'll rock.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Their praise was honorable. They had men praising them. Did you catch that? Men praising them. Jesus said in John chapter 12, the Bible said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. But that they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men.
Amen.
More than the praise of God.
Amen.
I don't give them a flip. You can sit and sit and stare and sit. We
Amen.
Never do a thing for God, but I'm going to tell you something.
Amen.
I don't need your praise to serve God. I don't need your pats
Amen.
On the back. I want to help you and be a blessing to you. I mean that. But I don't have to have your pats on my back. Preach and serve God.
Amen.
But his plan backfired. I find Daniel serving God. And I even find old Nebuchadnezzar out in the field eating grass and saying, what in the world? Daniel said, you're going to stay out there until you realize that the Most High God ruleth in the affairs of men. And I believe he got saved. Now, the devil ain't never going to get saved, but I believe Nebuchadnezzar got saved.
Amen.
I believe that Daniel led King Darius to the Lord.
Amen.
He did not want Daniel in that den of lions. He fought to keep him out of there. And in the morning, the daylight, he was there immediately. Oh, Daniel, thy God whom thou serve, continually able to deliver thee.
Amen.
He's delivered me, O king, and I've done you no harm or him either. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There is a life that we can live, friend, for God, and we don't have to do the world harm, the authority of this world harm, or God either.
Amen.
But stand together.